who turn from their transgression, declares the Lord. So there's a big problem. Our iniquity, our sins, separating us from God, who is the giver of all good gifts and the giver of life. And there's a solution given in the passage to the problem. A redeemer will come to Zion. Now, this verse was written over 700 years before Jesus Christ was born in the world. And yet this verse is plainly speaking about him. Jesus Christ is the redeemer who delivers you from evil. He is the long hand of the Lord who comes into the world to save. And this is the gospel. This is the good news of Christianity. Christ redeems us. Christ delivers us. Christ saves us through his death. On the cross, Jesus takes away our iniquities. In fact, he takes our iniquities from us and carries them in himself. And therefore he dies a death on the cross that our sins deserved. In doing that, what does Christ do? He takes away our sin. Imagine, it's a bad analogy because it's my Bible, but imagine this book is our sin. Christ on the cross takes away our iniquities. That which separates us from God is removed. And so we are free to be in relationship with the good God. The verse says that all who turn from transgression and sin will be redeemed by Christ the Saviour. And so we say all who turn from sin and turn to Christ for mercy are no longer separated from God. That's what you must do this afternoon. If you need the salvation of God, this is what you must do. You must turn from your transgression, from your iniquity, from your sin. In your heart and your mind now, turn away from that and turn to Jesus, the Redeemer, the Saviour, the hand of the Lord who comes into the world to save. And if you're already a Christian and you ever doubt that God's hand is long enough to save you, look to Christ. Upon the cross. There you see the love of Christ for you. His hand is not too short to save you. He loved you so much. He came to earth to die for you on the cross. And so you look to Christ and say, of course the arm of the Lord is not too short to save. Jesus came to rescue me. Today, three amazing ladies are getting baptized. And they are declaring to us in their baptism that God's hand is not shortened. They're declaring to us that God's hand saved. In fact, what they're saying is, he saved me from my iniquity, from my separation from God, from my death through Jesus on the cross. And that's symbolized by getting very, very wet as the washing of the waters comes over them in the act of baptism. That's what it symbolizes, is your sin, your iniquities being washed away, that which has separated you from God being washed clean completely so that you are no longer separated but reconciled to God through the death of Jesus Christ. So remember, God saves. May every single one of you know God's saving hand in your life today. God saves and God hears. The rest of the verse says, the Lord's ear is not dull that it cannot hear. What that verse implies is something truly spectacular. That God, the one who created all things, who knows all things, who can do anything, to whom all power and authority belong, the one who flung the stars into space, the one who created the water and the land and every living thing on this planet, that one, God himself, seeks relationship with you. He seeks to bend his ear and listen to you when you pray. Isn't that just spectacular truth? And yet, sin is once more a problem that needs dealing with. 59:2 also says, your sins have hidden his face from you so that he does not hear. There's a separation, not that you've been separated from God, but that sin hides God's face from you so that he cannot hear you when you pray. There's a breakdown in relationship between God the Father and those whom he has created. Once again, though, Christ is our Saviour. Jesus Christ is the Redeemer who deals with sin on the cross. We've already spoken about him taking away our iniquity, taking away our sin. And so the problem to every Christian, to everyone who puts their faith in Jesus Christ, this is a promise to you. God hears your prayers. His ears are not dull to hear your prayers because Christ has taken away your sin. Do not take that for granted. I know this is a simple truth that God hears your prayers, but don't take it for granted because it's an amazing, amazing truth. God is the creator of the universe, the sustainer of the universe, the restorer of the universe. God is the redeemer who saves, who is mighty to save. He is God Almighty. He's the God of heaven and earth. And he hears me when I speak to him. And he hears you too, if you're a believer in Jesus Christ. Please, brothers and sisters, press into the glory of prayer. Press into the relationship won by Jesus Christ upon the cross. Do not neglect this wonderful, wonderful gift that Christ has won for you. When these three ladies are baptized, they're not only saying, God has saved me. They are saying, God hears me when I pray. I have a relationship with the living God. So God saves. Therefore, turn and believe in Christ, and God hears. Therefore, pray through Christ. But notice that this isn't how the verse is phrased. The verse doesn't say, God saves, God hears, hooray! That's not what the verse says. Actually, it's expressed negatively, isn't it? The verse says, behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that he cannot save, or his ear dull that he cannot hear. And it's written that way because it's written to people who are doubting the length of God's hands. It's written to people who are doubting that God hears them when they pray. It's written to us because there are temptations to doubt that God can save. And there are temptations to doubt that God hears us when we pray. And so I want to speak to three groups of people who might be tempted to doubt the truth of this verse. Firstly, I want to speak to you if you're a non-Christian and you're thinking, I don't think God could really save me. I don't really think God's hand is long enough to save me. Maybe there's something in your past that you've done that's so bad, you can't believe that God would forgive you. Or maybe there's something in your past that brings you so much hurt and pain and shame that you can't imagine that God would want to be in relationship with you and to heal you. Or perhaps today your present state of mind, your present struggles seem so overwhelming that you think surely God couldn't or wouldn't save me. Well, if that's you, I want you to see this verse. This verse is for you. The hand of the Lord is not shortened that he cannot save. His ear is not dull that he cannot hear. And in order to demonstrate this point, that God could save anybody in this room, consider the Apostle Paul. Wrote a huge amount of the New Testament scriptures, a significant man in the church. He was once a murderer who breathed threats and murders against the church. He was as far gone as you could possibly be. He was an opponent of the church. He hated Christians. He wanted to kill them. God's hand was not too short that he could not save the Apostle Paul. God entered his life, transformed him, and used him for his glory. And he went on to plant churches and preach the gospel and see hundreds and thousands of people saved through his ministry. He did not deserve that for what he had done. And yet the hand of God was not shortened. He reached into his life and rescued him. And God can do the same for you today. No one here is beyond God's reach. The only thing that will keep you from being saved by God is a refusal to turn to Christ. To not believe in Christ, to say, actually, I don't want this salvation. I don't want this mercy. I don't want to believe in Jesus. But to anyone who does turn to Christ, God's hand is mighty, is long to save you. So do not doubt God's ability to save, but believe. Believe that God desires to have a relationship with you. Reach out in your heart and mind in faith to Jesus, and you will be saved. Second group of people who might doubt is Christians. And you feel your circumstances right now are so difficult that you doubt God is hearing your prayers. Maybe your work situation is just really, really bad. There's loads of pressure upon you, or your colleagues are quite nasty and uncaring and not giving you the time or the help that you need. And you're thinking, this is desperate, but God isn't hearing me when I pray for my work situation. Or maybe in your family, there are desperate situations happening right now, broken relationships, things going wrong. And you're thinking, is God really hearing me as I pray for my family? Or maybe you're praying for yourself. You feel broken. You feel that you need God to work in your life. You need healing. And you're thinking, is God really hearing me when I pray? Or maybe there's nothing major going on, but you just feel like your prayer life is in a bit of a rut. You feel like there's a glass ceiling, and when you come before God, you pray, and it feels like nothing happens. Well, I want you to know, the Bible wants you to know, the Lord's ear is not dull, that it cannot hear. Maria, Tia, Pascal, I want to encourage you throughout your walk with God. Whatever challenges arise, God will hear you when you pray. Christ has opened up that line of communication between you and God the Father forever. And he has given you the gift of the Holy Spirit, God within you, moving in your heart so that he will be forever with you, even to the end of the age. That's the promise of Jesus to his disciples. I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Please do not doubt that God is hearing your prayers. Know that he is answering your prayers in his infinite wisdom and great compassion and love. But if you're a Christian, he is hearing your prayers, because that's why Christ died. Thirdly and finally, let me speak to one other group of people who might doubt this verse. Maybe you doubt God can really save people in a world like this. You look around at the world and think, not even God can do anything in this world. Well, do you know in Isaiah 59, injustice reigned. Works of iniquity and sin abounded. Deeds of violence were commonplace. In fact, it says in Isaiah 59, their feet run to evil. They are swift to shed innocent blood. This is the kind of society that Isaiah 59 is written to, a society where they are quick to shed innocent blood. This verse is written to a generation of people who looked at the world and thought, surely God's hand is too short to save people out of this generation. Surely his ear is too dull to hear people pray in this generation. Now maybe you look at our world and you think it's so secular. No one thinks of God. No one prays. No one worships. No one knows the Bible. No one knows God's word. Maybe you look at culture and think culture is so unchristian. Or you look at our leaders and think our leaders are so deceitful. Or you look around you and see the sin of the masses. Or maybe you just speak to your friends and they seem so disinterested in God and the things of Jesus Christ. You think surely God's hand is too short to save in this world and this generation. You're tempted to doubt in the power of God's hand. You're tempted to doubt in the power of his ear to hear. Well, if that's you, then Isaiah 59 verse 1 is a verse for you. Believe in the power of God to save. Believe in the length of his hand to save. Believe in the openness of his ears to hear those prayers for mercy as people come and believe in Christ for the first time. And therefore go boldly to share the good news of Jesus Christ. Don't let your concerns and worries about the world in which we live hold you back from preaching the good news of Jesus Christ. Because this verse says, God saves. God saves, not you. You have a part to play, but you don't save people. You are never going to save anyone by the persuasive powers of your words, because it's God whose hand is long enough to save. Your hand is very, very short. I quite famously have small hands. So it's good. It's easy for me to remember that my hand is short, but God's hand is long to save. It is God who saves. So you play your part. Show the love and kindness of Christ to the people around you. And speak to them of Jesus. Invite them to church. Just say what you can. Share your testimony with the people around you. And then trust in God's hand to save. and trust in his ear being open to hear you when you pray for them. And let us be bold in sharing the good news of Jesus Christ. Because God saves, his hand is not shortened, and God hears, his ear is not dull. Therefore, turn to Christ and receive salvation this afternoon. Pray to God who hears with boldness. Do not doubt the power of God to save nor hear. Your past, your present, nor this society can stop those things being true. God still saves. God still hears. The gospel still makes a difference because it is the power of God for salvation to all who believe. As we celebrate God's hand working in people's lives this afternoon, remember that it's still true that God saves. Otherwise, we wouldn't be having baptisms if God didn't still save. This event wouldn't be happening if God doesn't still hear. And so I pray that that very simple but powerful truth would transform the way you live from this moment on. Let's pray for that. Heavenly Father, would you forgive us for doubting you? Would you forgive us for shrinking back from doing what you called us to? Lord, implant this verse, this truth, deeply within our hearts and our souls. May we always know that your hand is long enough to save. Your hand is not shortened, that it cannot save. And that your ear is not dull, that it cannot hear. And Lord, I pray you would save many. I thank you for the salvation of Maria, Tia and Pascal. Lord, I pray for the salvation of many in Fareham and the regions around, Lord God. Stretch out your hand, send forth your Holy Spirit and transform lives that many would be saved. And thank you that your ear is not dull to hear. And may anyone who needs to cry to you for mercy now, for forgiveness for sins, as they turn from sin to Christ for salvation. And may every Christian heart know that you always hear us when we pray and revel in that glorious, glorious truth, day by day, moment by moment. Thank you, Lord God, for this verse. Thank you for all you're about to do in our church as we come to this baptism moment. We praise you and glorify you. In Jesus' name, amen.